This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
I don't need another flu shot. I had a flu shot last year.
A swine flu epidemic may be coming.
Swine flu shot? Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
It could make you very sick.
Swine flu? Man, I'm too fast to let it catch me.
You'll want to be protected.
I'm the healthiest 55-year-old you ever seen. Hey, I play golf every weekend.
Get a shot of protection. The swine flu shot.
And welcome back to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And on this episode, of course, we have to cover probably the biggest medical story
in 2009.
At least.
Yeah.
I was going to say the decade.
I don't know if it's a medical story.
We could say the century.
Wow.
Yeah, the biggest medical story of the century.
Yeah, but the avian flu was pretty big already.
Was it this big?
See, I don't
this
know.
Pig?
This pig? Was it this pig?
Hey. Quit hogging the mics. Everybody's hogging the mics around here.
If you'd shove it in your mouth, we might listen.
I'm trying to say, I don't know if it's such a medical story or a conspiracy story in my mind.
Ooh.
Juicy.
Juicy. Hot topic.
Like a nice big slab of pork.
I'm not laughing. Piggy went to market.
Listen to the cows. They're all holding signs saying "Eat more pork."
Well, not only are we going to cover the swine flu in a different set of details than probably what most are hearing, and that was our goal of this episode, was to not just talk about swine flu because every other media outlet in the world is talking about it. We want to give some really solid, quick to the point CDC facts. World Health Organization facts, but then we also want to give the other side of the story. There's a doctor who is a naturalist slash pro-health care person who is giving a whole different slant on it, and I think he sides with you, Jody.
I would think so, too. From just basically briefing through that article, he's very much into the idea that it is a conspiracy theory.
Well, he said, I don't want to focus on that.
Right.
But we're going to talk more about those details, and I think everyone's going to find it a bit juicy because he just doesn't give his opinion. Mm-mm. He's got some facts to back it up.
Sure.
And one of the facts was this funny little commercial that we started the show off with today.
Uh-huh.
Now, we got to tell you a little bit about that. What it was doing, it was, you heard the voices of the actors and actresses. They were all these confident people that looked well when they were saying, swine flu? I'm too quick to catch swine flu, right? And then the very next thing when you heard the music was that they were sick in bed with the flu.
Well, it was apocalyptic music.
Yeah, it was.
Very scary.
And it, took me back. I mean, that's what it was like back then growing up watching TV.
Yes.
I mean, that was their main mode of communique.
Yes. That was a commercial, a series of commercials that was actually launched back in 1976. Public service announcements.
Yeah.
That was launched back in 76 under the Ford administration.
Right.
When the first flu epidemic, the swine flu epidemic hit from one, it was an army guy.
Yeah.
Army guy.
Yeah.
Soldier.
A soldier who came down with the flu and died.
Huh.
He was the only death from this.
One death.
There were several more infected from the same same camp.
Mm-hmm.
And a massive vaccination campaign began. All 220 million Americans were supposed to be vaccinated before the end of the year. They started it in October, or at least by October, they had 20 million people vaccinated. And we're going to find out about some of the terrible side effects that happened from a non-tested vaccination program that went really wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, the flu just died out on its own.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that.
But it is amazing because I was 9.
Yeah.
No, I was 11. And I've never heard of swine flu until 2 weeks ago.
I remember a sign in the back of our church that said swine flu. And I can remember thinking as a young boy.
Really?
In 76, I was six. Mm-hmm. So I can remember looking up at that and saying, well, that's a funny looking sign to have hanging in a church, swine flu, and thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
Right? Hmm. Well, I think what they were is that they had signed up to be a community vaccination place.
Yeah.
Oh.
Set up by the Ford administration that all public places of service, churches, schools, town halls,
would volunteer
kind of like a voting booth to be massive vaccination locations.
And I'd heard that he had authorized distribution of enough vaccination for everybody in the United States.
220 million Americans. Okay, so we're going to talk. There's a lot to talk about in that, and we're not just going to banter about it. We're actually going to read some details. So if you are trying to get the skinny on this, we think we got a pretty good handle on at least this part of it. So you're not going to believe this, you guys.
What?
Did you hear about the 11-foot alligator that shows up on the Tampa, Florida woman's doorstep?
Was he coming for dinner?
He was waiting for dinner.
Yes, he was. We talked about my sister and brother-in-law lived in North and South Carolina.
Oh.
And there's alligators down there.
Oh, I didn't. I would. Really?
Yeah. Yep. And their house cat, you know, our house cat in Michigan brings moles.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To the doorstep.
Oh, yeah.
Or half-eaten mice or whatever the case
may be. Rabbits.
Yeah. Well, their cat would bring up baby alligators.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Baby alligators?
Baby alligators. Now, that in that area, that was the leading reason for pet loss.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Kitties go out at night. Kitties don't come home in the morning.
There's new meaning to pet food.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, I think the cat may have brought this alligator up, but not quite in the same way that we were thinking.
No.
All the senses were working on the alligator.
So wait, what did the lady do when she saw the alligator?
She found a surprise on her doorstep Thursday morning.
Uh-huh.
An 11-foot alligator was hanging out at Belinda Donaldson's front door. Her neighbor warned her about the gator before she walked outside and called the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission.
He went out for the paper, turned to his right, and said, oh, my goodness.
If you were half asleep, you open the door, right on the head. Oh. I mean, if you could see this picture.
Can imagine.
It is a huge gator.
11 foot.
It says the trapper struggled with the unwelcome house guest, do you think? But was finally able to load the gator in the truck with the help of Hillsborough deputies.
Oh, my.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot, Hot, Dab, Dab, Dab.
Dr. Mercola. You can go out to Mercola.com. We're going to put a link on our website at irescueradio.com. And you'll be able to also get this. And you'll also learn quite a bit about this doctor. I happen to respect him. Now, Dan, you might have a little different feeling.
Joking.
Oh, he's joking now that he's live on air.
Yeah, right.
Wish everybody would. All right. Anyway. if you could see his
ambulance chaser.
The truth comes out.
It's coming
now
out.
Now we know how he really feels.
Squeeze that pimple a little more. We're going to see how much more we can get out of this. Dr. Mercola, I believe, and I don't have his bio sitting right here in front of me. You can learn a lot about him by going out to the Mercola.com website. He actually has several different physicians from several different disciplines that have come over to the Mercola Institute, I believe. Anyways, his whole tagline is take control of your health through natural, healthy living. And put things back into perspective. He believes that traditional medicine or synthetic medicine has had the emphasis put on the wrong syllable. That's my take on when I've read about his cause. And I believe he is a medical doctor because he actually states when he was in medical school was the same time as when the 76 pandemic fear came out the first time.
Okay.
All right. Now, Mercola has a bit of a different slant on this. And his little tagline here for critical alert on swine flu said the swine flu pandemic fact or fiction? Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, several nations have imposed travel bans or made plans to quarantine air travelers that present symptoms of the swine flu, such as fever of more than 100 degrees Fahrenheit, coughing, runny nose and or sore throat, joint ache, severe headache, vomiting and or diarrhea, lethargy, lack of appetite. Now, that still, in my opinion right now, is a good time not to travel. Okay, nobody likes to get the flu anyway, no. Right? And even just general flu is not good. But influenza is a major leading cause of viral pneumonia. And we need to talk about this for a minute. The reason that flu, influenza, yeah. A, for the most part, kills people is because it produces fluid in the lungs, yep. Which is pneumonia,
right?
And people drown on their and they suffocate.
That's really what happens. Yeah, the oxygen can't get exchanged into the blood cells.
And it's different than bacterial pneumonia in mm-hmm. that bacterial pneumonia can at least get an antibiotic in most cases, unless it's a drug-resistant strain. But even then, we have some pretty powerful super antibiotics that are usually able to save most people's lives. Mm-hmm. You can treat a bacterial infection. In most cases, you can't treat a viral infection. Okay? Now, Dr. McCullough says, I suspect you have likely been alarmed by the media's coverage of the swine flu scare. It has a noticeable subplot. Preparing you for draconian measures to combat a future pandemic as well as forcing you to accept the idea of mandatory vaccinations. Within a few months, claims totaling $1.3 billion had been filed mm-hmm. by victims who had suffered paralysis from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. The vaccine was also blamed for 25 deaths.
Yep. It was given to 40 million people, though, which it didn't kill people, but it gave the Guillain-Barre syndrome.
Several hundred people. I'm wrong. It was more than 150. Several hundred people developed crippling Guillain-Barre syndrome mm-hmm. after they were injected with the swine flu vaccine. Mm-hmm. Even healthy 20-year-olds ended up as paraplegics.
That's the problem.
And the swine flu pandemic itself never materialized.
Yep.
Now, it's very difficult to forecast a pandemic, and a rash response can be extremely damaging, this McCullough report says. To put things in perspective, and we played around with this a little bit. To put things in perspective, malaria kills 3,000 people. Malaria. Mm-hmm. This is an old disease. Malaria kills 3,000 people every day, and it's considered a health problem. But of course, there are no fancy vaccines for malaria that can rake in billions of dollars in a short amount of time. One mm-hmm. Australian news source, for example, states that even a mild swine flu epidemic could lead to the deaths of 1.4 million people and would reduce economic growth by nearly $5 trillion. Mm-hmm. Now, McCullough goes into a little subjectivity and says, give me a break. If this doesn't sound like the outlandish cries of the pandemic bird flu, I don't know what does. Do you remember when President Bush said 2 million Americans would die as a result of the bird flu? Mm-hmm. In 2005, 6, and 7, and again in 2008, those fears were exposed as little more than a cruel hoax designed to instill fear and line the pocketbooks of various individuals and industry.
It's panic. It's panic. Yep. It's an industry built on panic. In fact, today I was so – this morning I said to my wife when I heard it on the news, I went, I can't believe these morons. And it's a – you know, whatever. I said that out loud to my wife. So yep. I can't believe them. They closed an elementary school here in our local area
because
one child had flu symptoms.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, that drives me nuts. It's panic and it's fear and it's dead wrong.
Now, Dan, you disagree.
Well, I don't know if I disagree. I think, you know, we criticize our public institutions for covering up facts. Mexico right now is being criticized for not stating all the facts of the statistics of who's died and mm-hmm. who's sick and that sort of thing.
Yep.
And yet when the government does respond publicly mm-hmm. through Twitter – by the way, you didn't know that. and other media outlets, including public service announcements, they're damned if you do, damned if you don't process.
Right.
And that's what I'm suggesting.
Right.
I think it's wise to be aware of it and concerned. And you and I, as we step out of our offices today and interact with the community around us, are not worried about malaria.
And why not? Because
it's not around here.
But 742,000 people died last year.
But yeah, not here, not in our little corner of the world. It's in some tropical area, right? That's what we envision malaria as, whether I'm right or wrong. But that's where the, you know.
That's it.
Right. So my point is, I think the panic comes when the possibility of it being on my airplane, coming back with me, affecting me and my family members,
suddenly.
I think is suddenly, out of the blue, on a perfectly clear, wonderful spring day, doesn't fit the mold of what we expect. And I think that's where the concern comes in. And so the government's simply trying to address that. Far be it for me to protect the government here, but I'm just suggesting it.
Sure. It's fear-mongering, though. It's fear-mongering because it's gone overboard. I mean, so well, far overboard.
I don't know if it's the government that's doing it, though. I think it's the media outlets that need a flipping story.
It's potentially overboard.
Yeah. Well,
that's the concern.
By whom?
By WHO, by CDC.
Yeah, really?
Well, like Barack Obama, the president, just I think it was just yesterday or today. I can't remember which day. Was it 250 million? I don't remember the amount, but he's calling for so many millions of dollars to be spent right now on getting this stuff
taken
care of.
Okay, but stop.
It's a government again. It's a government fear-mongering.
You know, our previous administration was completely hung out and crucified for not responding to Hurricane Katrina correctly.
Sure.
Do you think this administration is going to run that risk? They're going to err on the side of
being more proactive. Right.
Than they are lack of response.
It's a bad spot to be
in. When I say it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, that's exactly what I mean.
I know, it's a bad spot.
And is it political? And is it, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of things that play into it. But we want to know that our government is thinking about it. Maybe not you, Jody, but I think as a collective body around the United States, we want to know if the money we spend in taxes, the government's actually doing something.
And
they're actually conscious that it exists.
And that if this turns into a true pandemic...
They're ahead of the ball.
That they didn't wait to the last minute and it's too late.
Is it the correct solution? No, but they seem to be learning on the fly as things go on. No pun intended with flies, but...
Well, the problem... Here's a real problem. The government is losing our confidence daily. And for good reason. In that they mismanage a lot of things. It's part of the reason, regardless of how we three feel in this room... It's part of the reason why a lot of people, including many doctors that I've interviewed, say, I'm concerned about the government controlling healthcare because everything else it controls gets screwed up with bureaucracy.
Yeah, big time.
You don't think so, Dan?
I'm pretty happy with our government.
You're one of the few.
Really? Maybe in this building.
No, you're one of the few. I really believe you're one of the few. That doesn't mean that you're not in the majority of people that like the direction we're heading. I'm saying now, I'm not talking about this current administration. I'm talking about politics as a whole, local, state, and federal.
Well, I guess I'm speaking more federal.
Yeah, I think you're thinking more statewide, current.
Yeah,
politics.
Popular
as in what just happened last night.
I don't run around with an Obama sweatshirt that says I'm an Obama groupie.
He's got a mug that has
Obama. Yeah, he's got a mug that's got Obama on his
that you bought, my friend, and it had the candle burning in it. Now I'm drinking out of it.
I prayed for him. It was a vigil candle.
He's an Obama groupie with a mug.
Anyways. Bird flu, man. So all I'm saying is that for the sake of Jody to not be demonized here, he's just...
Or me!
Or you, but he's concerned on the opposite spectrum.
Let's go, Dan. After lunch, outside.
Outside.
In the rain.
The government does shystery things. Period. And you want proof? I'll find it for you.
That's
Look.
Do you always think the government's out for your best interest?
Always and of course not. But I think given the size of the federal government in this behemoth organization that it is, it generally does good things. Right. We are so off track here.
Yeah. I know, but it's all tied in because the government is babysitting us for this swine flu.
We have the same argument with the American Heart Association. And know we do.
Let's not bring that up again.
It's the same point. It's a large behemoth organization that generally does good things. And I'm thankful they're around.
Well, here's the thing.
And so are you.
Yeah, I know I am.
So
I fought for this country. You know,
feel free to jump into a country with a different kind of government.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
My point is,
however, there are people from Europe that believe they live in the best country in the world.
I'm not saying everything's perfect. I'm saying generally across the board, I'm happy that the government's paying attention to this crisis.
I am too.
Well, do I think they're overreacting? I don't think so.
Here's my point. When it comes to the government idea, yeah, am I sitting here going, I can't believe government? Oh, no. That's not the point. I believe in our type of government. It's representative run. I believe in that. Yeah, other problems. Absolutely. But here's the issue that we have at hand. When you've got a government that, like in 1976, is making a complete and utter fear-mongering, panic-stricken society, it is wrong. It is not right. It is not how our government acts. Our government is trying to take the place of saying, we know everything is best. You've got to do this. And so the same thing, it's the same thing repeating itself that happened in 1976.
Do you think it's at the same level as Ford?
I do.
Went to?
Well, not exactly the same. Because Ford went to the point of everybody's got to get vaccinated. Yeah. We're not at that point because we learned from it, but still we're in the same fear-mongering state.
I would say that President Obama in his speech did not try to transmit panic and fear. Fair? I would say that in his unique speech as the President of the United States.
I can truly say I didn't hear it. I heard a soundbite.
He did not make it sound. Well, and not just last night, but in his announcement about the swine flu.
Well, he's reading what somebody else wrote for him.
Correct. I know. But he has to approve to read it as well. Okay. But the point being is that there's a lot more people involved in this worldwide than just the United States government.
Everybody's involved.
Or the president. So I'm talking, I'm talking about this, I'm talking about bureaucracy as a whole, politics. Mm-hmm. Right. Whenever politics get involved in civil liberties and in day-to-day life, okay? Because they know better than the stupid fool human. That's what I'm saying here, because that's what happened in 76. You guys don't know that a pandemic is coming. We do. Ford pulled the trigger, and I like Ford. I think he was an okay guy. Sure. Oh, yeah. I don't know that he was an okay president. He was a little bit before my time. But he was an okay guy, in my opinion, from what I've read in his biographies. Okay. But the point being is that I think that's not his focus.
No.
He's not an epidemiologist. He's not.
So who should be speaking on behalf of the United States citizens? Who should be that mouthpiece?
CDC.
I think that there could be a lot of people that say, we see this happening. We are taking steps to prepare
if it gets out of
control.
About?
The Centers for Disease Control that your U.S. government or that your tax dollars pay for. But I can tell you right now, though, I have taught many infection control classes that deviated from the CDC guidelines because the CDC guidelines did not meet the real deal in the clinical setting.
Here's the thing about CDC.
So who should speak on behalf of the United States citizens when a crisis or a sort of potential crisis might occur? NPR? Fox News?
No.
But what the, that's
Rush
not
the, Limbaugh?
That's, hang on, we've gotten so far away from the point. The point is, it's not becoming who speaks for them. That's not the point we're doing here. The point is, our country, based on media, based on government, based on politics, based on everything, has gone way overboard. And the facts, CDC's purely presents facts. Facts are 109 cases are reported. There's been one death. That one death really wasn't from the United States. Anyhow, that's the fact.
So
now what we do with that, what we do with the facts, that's what I'm concerned about. The facts are getting way blown out of proportion.
And if the fear is let to run wild, it can make people do things reactively that they may not otherwise do proactively.
Right.
And you can leverage people with fear easier than you can leverage them with common sense.
Absolutely. So we Google our facts before we come in.
We
the
do.
Air.
We do.
Right.
But there's a
and
lot
where did
of people.
We go?
There's a lot of people. I went to a lot of sources.
We went to the CDC.
I've been listening to this since it developed.
I wasn't going to be comfortable talking about this if we didn't use the facts used by the CDC.
Right. It's facts.
It's not always facts. And it's facts from them.
Well, yes, but it's
the counts might not even be real.
And you know when they say recorded, reported, verified facts or cases, I think collectively in this room, we would know that there's far more out there. It just hasn't been reported in yet.
Yeah.
So it's sure. it's a fluid thing. Listen. You want Edward R. Murrow going, there's bombs dropping over here.
Listen, it would not be the first time that government bodies have not been strong-armed by the influence of financial gain personally.
No question about it.
So that's all we're saying, and I think everything should be tested.
Yeah. But I'm suggesting that what I'm hearing, and maybe I'm hearing it incorrectly, you're suggesting that nothing should have been talked about the swine flu.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
How should it have been talked about?
I'm not sure you got that from at all.
But the problem is that we're hearing, you're going to die. This is going to kill you.
Who are you hearing that from?
Oh, get out. Everywhere. Every news story they talk about, it's
you can leave the one channel you listen to.
No, what I'm talking about, stuff like,
I love you.
Oh yeah,
I do.
Elizabeth, both you guys, everyone in the parking lot,
and he'll still win.
He's big enough to take his bolt out.
What I'm saying is that it's become a panic. It's all about a panic, and it is every news story you hear.
Now,
it is not facts.
No, there's
not
two telling. Different things there. I am hearing it. It is everywhere. It's
panic.
But
you're gonna die.
I don't want to hear that.
If you were in the hospital right now at St. Mary's, we would be too.
I'd still be saying,
well, no, we would be.
Jan,
we'd be going,
life insurance,
we're all
going to
die. We're all going to die. I'm getting that.
I'm hallucinating.
Give me that vaccine.
Yeah.
I want the antiviral treatment.
Maybe it's a conspiracy by the life insurance company saying, hey, let's everybody buy more life insurance.
Speaking of conspiracy, we got to tie this thing up.
All right.
Here's the other side, and it's a what if. What if, Dan, you're wrong, and what if this is a conspiracy theory? Check this out.
I'm moving.
Regular swine flu is a contagious respiratory disease caused by a type A influenza virus that affects pigs. The current strain, the AH1N1, is a new variation of an H1N1 virus, which causes seasonal flu outbreaks in humans, and also contains genetic material of bird and pig versions of the flu. Now, this is needed to be known so that we can understand what the next pieces are going to talk about. Interestingly enough, this version has never before been seen in neither human nor animal, which I'll discuss a bit later, says Mercola.
So it's not swine flu.
No.
It is a new
strain of
strain
it.
That has not been
and
seen
it's different
before.
Different than the one from 76.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. This does sound bad, but not so fast, says Mercola. There are a few reasons to not rush to conclusions that this is a deadly pandemic we've been told would occur in the near future, as if anyone could predict it without having some sort of inside knowledge.
Oh, ooh, inside knowledge.
While in my opinion,
it's Obama's fault.
Listen, while in my opinion, it is highly likely that factory farming is responsible for producing this viral strain, Mercola believes that there is still no cause for concern.
And here's the interesting thing. Not one article, authority, anybody has been able to link this current strain to any pig, swine, hog, anywhere.
All right, now listen up. You may not know this, says Mercola, but all H1N1 flus are descendants of the 1918 pandemic strain. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Okay.
We're talking about the
millions.
Great plague.
Right. The Black Plague, right? Is that what it was?
They call it the Black.
Yeah.
The reason why the flu shot may or may not work, however, from year to year is due to mutations. Therefore, there's no vaccine available for this current hybrid flu strain. And naturally, this is feeding the fear that millions of people will die before a vaccine can be made. However, let me remind you of one very important fact here. A couple of months ago, scientists concluded that the 1918 flu pandemic that killed between 50 and 100 million people worldwide in a matter of 18 months, that's something to get a little strained about.
Yeah, I agree.
Which all these worst case scenarios are built upon was not due to the flu itself.
Nope.
Instead, they discovered that the real culprit was a strep infections. People with influenza often get what is known as superinfection with a bacterial agent. And in 1918, it appears to have been Streptococcus pneumoniae,
yeah,
of which we have some pretty good treatments for now.
But you had
but they
to
didn't
get the
back
flu
then.
Before you right. got the Streptococcus
Correct.
Pneumoniae.
Because it makes you weak.
Correct. But
so
it is
tied to it.
Well, but we have different treatments now. Let's keep reading. Yeah, since strep is much easier to treat than the flu, using modern medicine, a new pandemic would likely be much less dire than it was in the early 20th century, researchers concluded. Others, such as evolutionary biologist Paul Ewald, claimed that a pandemic of this sort of sort simply cannot happen because in order for it to occur, the world has to change. Not the virus itself, but the world. In a previous interview with Esquire magazine, in which he discusses the possibility of a bird flu pandemic, he states, "They think that if a virus mutates, it's an evolutionary event. Well, the virus is mutating because that is what viruses and other pathogens do. But evolution is not just random mutation. It is random mutation coupled with natural selection. It is a battle for competitive advantage among different strains generated by random mutation. For bird flu to evolve into a human pandemic, the strain that finds a home in humanity has to be a strain that is both highly virulent and highly transmissible. Deadliness has to translate somehow into popularity. H5N1 has to find a way to kill or immobilize its human hosts and still find other hosts to infect. Usually that doesn't happen." Now, Ewald, I know this is a lot of reading to everybody, but listen, this is good stuff. Ewald goes on to explain that evolution in the general is all about trade-offs. And in the evolution of infections, the trade-off is between virulence and transmissibility. And I believe it wants transmissibility, don't you?
That's the whole point about viruses. Viruses, the whole reason a virus lives, the whole reason that microorganism is there
is to
multiply.
Multiply
and replicate.
That's its whole purpose.
And so it's going to do whatever it can to do that.
What this means is that in order for a bird flu or a swine flu to turn into a human pandemic, it has to find an environment that favors both deadly virulence and ease of transmission.
That's it. Yep.
People live in a squalor. People living in a squalor on the Western Front at the end of World War I generated such an environment from which the epidemic of 1918 could indeed arise.
There you go.
Likewise, crowded chicken farms, slaughterhouses, and jam-packed markets of Eastern Asia provide another such environment. And that environment gave rise to the bird flu, a pathogen that both kills and spreads in birds but not in humans.
So, is Mexico City that kind of environment?
It's got spots. It's got spots that are that bad.
Well, so does Calcutta.
Well, look at New York City.
Yes.
Okay. Is it starting there?
There's lots of diseases there.
Right. You look at tuberculosis. Where is tuberculosis? Heavy, highly compacted areas with lots and lots and lots of people that are packed into very small amounts of space.
So
same thing.
Ewald says, "We know that H5N1 is well adapted to birds. We also know that it has a hard time becoming a virus that can move from person to person. It has a hard time without or doing anything, but we can make it harder. We can make sure it has no human population in which to evolve transmissibly. There's no need to rely on the mass extermination of chickens. There's no need to stockpile vaccines for everyone. By vaccinating, listen, this is going to be break the chain of transmission. By vaccinating just the people most at risk, the people who work with chickens and the caregivers, we can prevent it from becoming transmissible among humans.
There you go.
Then it doesn't matter what it does in chickens. Please remember that, despite the fantastic headlines and projections of millions of deaths, the H5N1 bird flu virus killed a mere 257 people worldwide since late 2003.
Oh, amazing.
As unfortunate as those deaths are, 257 deaths worldwide from any disease over the course of 5 years does not constitute an emergency worthy of much attention, let alone fear.
Or the word pandemic.
Right. Honestly, your risk of being killed by a lightning strike in the last 5 years was about 2,300% higher than your risk of contracting and dying from the bird flu.
That's it. That's it. That's exactly what the problem with the swine flu thing is right now.
Okay, so you're saying we should vaccinate Mexico City.
No. Not the point. The point is...
No. The people that work in high exposures to these animal viruses will break the chain from transmitting from the animal to the person to the public. That will stop that transmission, and the caregivers that will then deal with the flu...
So really, you're talking about the application of the vaccine.
You just got to break the chain of transmission. This is interesting, you guys. And we're concluding here. On Sunday, April 26th, The Independent reported that more than 1,000 people had contracted the swine flu virus in Mexico. Okay? The same afternoon, the Mexican president Calderon declared that more than two-thirds of the 1,300 thought to have contracted the disease had been given a clean bill of health and sent home.
That's the amazing thing.
Additionally, The number of actual confirmed cases appears to be far lower than reported in many media outlets, and leading me to believe that many reporters are interchanging the terms suspected cases and confirmed cases. Mm-hmm. Now, additionally, nearly all suspected new cases have been reported as mild. Personally, Mercola says, he's highly skeptical, and it simply doesn't add up to a real pandemic. But it does raise serious questions about this brand new, never before seen virus came from.
But you still haven't answered why.
It's getting hot in here.
Why all the deaths are occurring in Mexico?
There's a lot of areas in Mexico. In Mexico, well,
there's a lot of areas in the United States.
I know, but we've got probably one of the better healthcare systems transnationally than a lot of different big countries.
Hence the one sick child flown to Houston.
Yeah, Mexico. Mexico has some very rich cities, but I would say as a whole, that nation does not have an overwhelming amount of wealth and healthcare. Okay. Here we go. I'm ready, Dan. I want this. I want you. I want this out of here.
Here we go. Say it, Roy. Say it.
According to the Associated Press, at least one financial analysis estimates up to $388 million worth of Tamiflu sales in the near future. And that's without a pandemic outbreak.
Who bought off the government?
As soon as Homeland Security declared a health emergency, 25%, about 12 million doses of the Tamiflu and Relenza treatment courses were released. Keep in mind, they just said, didn't they, that it's a mutated form of flu that isn't even treated by the same treatments that we were trying to treat this last flu. Those are the treatments that they were inoculating people with for the flu virus of last winter.
And the interesting thing with those flu viruses, real quick, if they're not given within the first 48 hours when the symptoms appear, the flu that medicine is
less effective or ineffective.
Not effective, yeah.
Remember that Tamiflu went through some rough times not too long ago. The dangers of this drug came to light when in 2007, the FDA finally began investigating some 1,800 adverse events reported to the drug. Now, they're fairly minimal, the big ones. Common side effects were nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, headache, dizziness, fatigue, cough. Flu symptoms. That's pretty common. More serious symptoms included convulsions, delirium, or delusions, and 14 deaths in children and teens as a result. Now, it was a result of neuropsychiatric problems and brain infections. Now, okay, that being said, that's a whole other area.
Yeah.
Ready for this now? Where did this mysterious new animal-human flu strain come from? This is good. Could a mixed animal-human mutant like this occur naturally? And if not, who made it, and how was it released? Now, we're not trying to say that that's exactly what this is. Do not do that to us, listeners. That's not what we're saying.
But, Roy, the truth is out there.
Okay, listen, though. Mercola says, not one to dabble too deep in conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
He's not. This is the first time he's
finish
said it.
Finish your story.
Uh-oh. Dan's going to go off.
No, I'm not going to.
Take my toys and go home.
All he said is, I don't have to strain very hard to find actual facts to support the notion that this may not be a natural mutation and that those who stand to gain have the wherewithal to pull off such a stunt. Just last month, I reported on the story that the American pharmaceutical company Baxter was under investigation for distributing the deadly avian flu virus to 18 different countries as part of a seasonal flu vaccine shipment.
Oh, my.
Czech reporters were probing to see if it may have been part of a deliberate attempt to start a pandemic, as such a mistake would be virtually impossible under the security protocols of that virus.
Oh, boy.
The H5N1 virus on its own is not very airborne. However, when combined with seasonal flu viruses, which are more easily spread, the effect could be a potent airborne deadly biological weapon. If this batch of live bird flu and seasonal flu viruses had reached the public, it could have resulted in dire consequences. There is a name for this mixing of viruses. It's called reassortment. and it is one of the two ways pandemic viruses are created in the lab. Some scientists say the most recent global outbreak, the 1977 Russian flu, was started by a virus created and leaked from a laboratory. Another example of the less sterling integrity of Big Pharma is the case of Bayer, who sold millions of dollars worth of the injectable blood clotting medicine to Asia, Latin American, and some European countries in the mid-1980s, even though they knew it was tainted with the AIDS virus. So, while it is morally unthinkable that a drug company would knowingly contaminate flu vaccines with a deadly flu virus such as the bird flu or swine flu, it is certainly not impossible. It has already happened more than once. But there seems to be no repercussions or hard feelings when industry oversteps the boundaries of morality and integrity and enters the arena of obscenity. Because lo and behold, which company has been chosen to head up efforts along with the WHO to produce a vaccine against the Mexican swine flu? Baxter, despite the fact that ink has barely dried on the investigative reports from their should-be criminal mistake against humanity, according to other sources, a top scientist for the United Nations who has examined the outbreak of the deadly Ebola virus in Africa as well as at HIV/AIDS victims has concluded that the current swine flu virus possesses certain transmission vectors that suggest that the new strain has been genetically manufactured as a military biological warfare weapon. The UN expert believes that Ebola, HIV/AIDS, and the current H1N1 swine flu virus are biological warfare agents. In addition, Army criminal investigators are looking into the possibility that disease samples are missing from biolabs at Fort Detrick.
Were stolen by UFOs.
The same, you better be careful, Dan, the same Army research lab. You know what? We would never believe that the United States was ever going to torture anybody with waterboarding either. Moving right along, the same Army research lab from which the 2001 anthrax strain was released, according to a recent article in the Frederick News Post, in February the top biodefense lab halted all its research into Ebola anthrax plague and other diseases known as select agents after they discovered virus samples that weren't listed in its inventory and might have been switched with something else.
That's a lot of reading.
I know it's a lot of reading, but people got to hear about it.
All right.
And we need to, as a people, we need to hold other people accountable. I'm sorry, Dan Hendrick.
I agree.
You
no,
know
I...
that I am with you on a lot of things, but I will not blindly follow along because somebody behind a mic said something. And because I don't want to spend the time thinking about it because I want to listen to my iPod Touch. Or because I want to go play my Wii, or I want to go hang out with my friends, or I want to do this, or I want to do that, or I want to watch this episode, I'm not going to just listen to rhetoric anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to know. I want the whole story. That's why I listen to NPR, because I like the world view. I don't want just one source. Treat it like every other flu. Doggone it. We've forgotten old practices. Mm-hmm. Your kids are sick. Keep them home. Mm-hmm. If they've got a fever, they're infectious. The flu virus, no matter what kind it is, sloughs off virus up to 7 to 10 days in a healthy person after they're well and up to 30 days in an immune-compromised person. They're infectious. You can spread it. I don't care if it's swine flu, made-up flu, fictitious flu, or real flu. We don't stay home and rest enough when we get sick.
That is true. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't use all my sick days. I mean,
obviously,
I got up Monday.
You're here.
Well, I got up Monday. I felt like crap.
I know. And what did I tell you to do?
Yeah, I wasn't conscious of what you told me to do.
I said, stay home.
Yeah, you told my wife that I was under heavy medication.
I told you Monday night, though.
Yeah.
When you said,
yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
I said, Dan, rest. Get well.
Well, I slept for like 9 hours.
I know.
Hours.
But what if you're sloughing virus?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks.
I've been really feeling bad today.
You really care. You know what, though? Honestly, okay? Yeah. If you really care about people, think outside of just how we feel as ourselves and say, if I'm going to stay home, you know what? I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for my friends. I'm doing it for my coworkers.
But here's the devil's advocate on that. what boss is going to tolerate that?
A lot more in 2009 than back in 76. Tell you that
because
much.
Because it's in the news.
Oh, no, not because it's in the news. Because we got laptops. We're virtual offices now. You can get more work done from your home with voice over internet than we ever dreamt of doing in the past.
And that's true.
Every that one of true. Us could work from home if we had to.
But in a manufacturing state such as the state we live in.
We don't know. We're not anymore.
Well, no. It's more service industry. Whatnot.
No, yeah, no. It's you're just standing in the unemployment line.
Yeah. Now we're really getting off. I know. I'm just saying. If you're sick, rest. If you're coughing, don't cough on people. Wash your hands often. Do not rub your eyes, nose, or mouth, because that's a great way to get it into mucous membrane. And the only way to get sick is to have three components. The bug that's infectious, the route of infection, and a susceptible host. You eliminate any one of those three ingredients, and you cannot get sick. That's why we're selling Boy in the Bubble Bubbles. Just go to www.boyinthebubble.com and we'll hook you right up. They look like little gerbil balls.
Pulling your bibs.
You see all of us in the parking lot bumping into each other in these bubbles.
Or just walk around.
Hey, Jody, hand me another hamburger. I can't break my seal on my bubble.
That's right. I'm too susceptible today.
All right. So anyways, interesting topic. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with us as a lot of reading.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
Neck injuries. All right, here we go. What is the best way to open a patient's airway who's suspected of having a neck injury?
Here's what I'm going to say. Okay. Do a full head tilt chin lift, whether they have a neck injury or not.
Yes, Jody, you're right. Head tilt chin lift. The facts behind it was that cervical orthopedic surgeons realized that what earlier was suggested, which was the modified jaw thrust, which where you put your thumbs on the person's cheekbones and you grab the back of the mandible and pull the chin forward, that does do a good job of bringing the tongue out of the back of the throat without doing a head tilt chin lift in many of the patients. However, the amount of pressure that is put on the cervical vertebrae with that type of procedure showed as much, if not more, movement of an unstable cervical spine than a regular head tilt chin lift. Of course, if you don't have to move the head in order to get air in and out, you don't. But if you cannot get air into the dead or dying patient and they are suspected of having a neck injury, a head tilt chin lift will still be used.
Exactly.
So last week's poll question was, do bed bugs scare you away from hotels? 50% said, 25% said no, and 25% maybe. Here's next week's poll question. Is the fear of swine flu changing your travel plans? Yes or no? Just keep it yes or no. No more of this maybe wishy-washy.
You gotta have an opinion.
Yeah. Put it in there. Yeah. Yes or no?
Throw it in.
Is the fear of swine flu affecting your decision to travel? Yes or no? All right, we got to get out of here. Yeah. People have stopped listening minutes and minutes and hours ago. So from the studios of iRescue Radio, we're all hoping not to get the flu.
I've already had it. I'm recovered.
Yeah, you're just sloughing.
Schlepping.
I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we'll see you next time.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com.
The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.